Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show as always. With me today is author Vadim Mankov. How are you today, Vadim?
I'm fine, thank you. It's very nice weather today.
It is, and you've caught us in a good patch because a few days ago it was raining and it was really miserable. So you've brought us the sunshine today in London, and I'm very happy to have you on the podcast. It is a pleasure to have you joining us. And of course, Vadim is the author of Humanity's Lucky Clover. He also has a PhD in economics and it is a well-known entrepreneur and expert innovator. He's joining us today to talk about his new book, Humanity's Lucky Clover. But before we get into kind of the meat and a discussion of the themes in the book, Adam, I really want to ask you, what inspired you to start writing and become an author?
Well, for many years, I've been sharing my experience on innovation and introduction of best practices to business, redesigning business models. And I was sharing it with my students and companies. During our seminars, we had aha moments. People were inspired, and they actually inspired me as well to write the book. So they were in search of excellence to make their business even better. They were looking at what distinguishes successful societies and companies from less successful ones in terms of common traits. And is there any universal success formula that they can apply to their business? So during my research, I had a lot of exploration. I compared historical facts and hypotheses. And gradually, this system was forging in my mind. So this research was finalized by my view on the economy of the future and how could we become an integral part of it.
Yeah, and let's talk about it, Humanity's Lucky Clover, and just the name itself is already fascinating. What can you tell us about the methodology behind the four-leaf clover? What is it? How do we begin to understand it?
It's a good question. Based on my extensive research, empirically, it appeared to be that there are four key elements which were prerequisites of success in any technological era. Which were knowledge, society, finance, and business. And how it works is the way a good innovation cycle works, basically. So first it starts with creation of new knowledge, which enables us to learn new things about how the world works. Now, this changes organization of our society, the way we live, our habits, our beliefs and attitudes, our lifestyle. Then entrepreneurs connect these new possibilities of technology and demand from society with new methods and ways of organizing business, improving productivity. As a result of improved productivity, wealth grows and generates demand for new innovation. Another important point of methodology is, in addition to innovation cycle, what also equally, if not more important, is the evolutionary algorithm, because it also coincidentally has four important elements in it. It starts with creation, integration, competition, and selection. So the combination of both business innovation cycle, properly working evolutionary algorithm plus empiric research made the methodology for the book.
Yeah, and let's delve into that because that's absolutely great stuff. Now, the four critical elements, the science, society, innovation, and wealth. And the book does a very good representation of them and giving a lot of details on each side of the clover in a way. In your opinion, which one do you think sits at the top? Which one is the most important, or is perhaps none of them and they end up complementing each other in some way?
I think the most important is knowledge, and there are several reasons why. Well, first of all, how we are different from all the other species in our world is by the tremendous amount of knowledge we create. We create the whole knowledge sphere, which scientists call as noosphere, the sphere of knowledge in which we live. Well, secondly, knowledge, I would compare it with DNA or with a design scheme. So this is the start of any good project, the design scheme. Then it's built up and then it starts to live, compete, being selected. And so this is a cycle. So therefore, the knowledge in terms of innovation cycle is an ultimate source of wealth. Another important thing about knowledge is that there are only two known ways in our universe to create the knowledge. One is biological evolution, and what it does is basically makes trillions of recombinations and then just ruthlessly make a selection of the fittest which survive. So in this survival living organisms, their genes or their DNA, this is where the knowledge is recorded. Now, the second way of created knowledge in the universe is human beings, because we created the whole new way of making knowledge, and this is in our brain. We use abstract words, and brain is very good instrument for recording knowledge, keeping knowledge, and transferring knowledge. Final remark is very interesting, and I think it's a new way. Is going to be the new third way of creating knowledge with the help of artificial super intellect.
Yeah, that AI aspect is always interesting, and it will be, I guess, a journey to see where it takes us. But just to add on from that, there's something you said there which is really interesting, and I guess we'll be going a bit off topic, but you mentioned the evolutional and biology side of human beings in itself. And in preparation for this podcast, you know, I was thinking about these aspects, and there were a few things that really stuck out for me when it comes to knowledge in humans. The first is that fundamentally, we are the only species that have a conscience. Well, as developed as it is, I don't think any other, whether it is a mammal or a marine animal, whatever it is, they don't have that level of conscience that we do. And another thing, I guess, in a more darker tone is human beings are, I guess, the only creatures that are capable of evil and good. And I was racking my brains as I was going through the book, and it was fascinating just thinking the possibilities that we evolved in such a way for such a large period of time. And it goes back to what you were saying. It's all about that accumulated knowledge, and everything to do with innovation and science and society comes from that one biological sphere. And that was mind-blowing. And you know, for those listening, you should definitely read a book, because it gives you a great representation of what that is. And it will tell you more about yourself that you probably never even imagined, which is mind-blowing. And to follow on from that, I really want to talk about the data in the research, because a book like this is no easy feat. So I really want to ask you, how did you go about the immense amount of data in research when you had to write this? How did you even begin to organize it?
Well, indeed, the amount of information that I had to analyze while making my research was really immense. Therefore, it took me 7 years of work on my book, to write the book. And it was a very fascinating process of learning and integrating knowledge, comparing historical facts and hypotheses. Actually, as a result, I completely reconsidered the original concept of the book and rewritten my book from page one in a completely different way. However, the process was not just theoretical but practical one. What was important is how can we apply these theories and hypotheses for real business work? How can we make better investment and economic decisions? And finally, how can we look from that historical perspective, and using this model, what would be successful model of a new economy of Industry 4.0 of our future? Yes, you mentioned important thing was how to properly organize the research, because it's such a complicated structure. So first of all, we have several chronological epochs, starting from the epoch where human beings, we departed, we split from biological evolution. Second one was creation of natural states. Then the third one was dynamic states, where we learned how to innovate, and then the future. And then for each of these epochs, we should consider all four elements of a clover. In different epochs, science was just knowledge and words, and then writing, and then if each of the other concepts evolved, society evolved very substantially. Business, finance, bringing us to unbelievable level of today. And also, what was important, I tried to make the book in a way that it consists of a number of fascinating stories behind, so it is easy to read. So you basically read interesting stories, you look at the facts you may know before, but you see it in different angles, or you look at them in a different way.
Yeah, and just to add to that, you know, when I was going through it, I could definitely see the application when it comes to a business sense. And I think with all good businesses, with all good ways of doing business, you need all the data you can. You need all the research you can before you start applying anything. And to go back from what you mentioned on the history, and we'll be talking a bit about history because I have a very specific question for that. But firstly, I want to focus a bit on the future. So you've completed the book and you've gone on this journey, you know, going all the way back to modern day. Where do you think we go from here? What do you think awaits us in the future? Not so much just in a business sense, but in general as a species. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think this is the main challenge for my book, is to answer this question. But I started with, we already discussed that knowledge is the ultimate source of wealth. Therefore, one of the key factors determining our future is the speed and pace with which we will create and integrate new knowledge into our life and into our society. So here, what is crucial important is a new artificial superintelligence, which is emerging third known way of creating the knowledge and bringing it to unprecedented and unforeseen level before. What it means? It means that in just 30 years from now, by 2050, human beings could come to the edge of capability of redesigning ourselves, our own DNA, our own creatures, with the help of synthetic biology and artificial intelligence. Therefore, what's important to look at in the nearest future is the roadmap, is the way we go there slower, we go there faster. So there are a few key milestones which are very important to look at. One milestone is autonomous cars. We know that it's part of our life already. However, the question is when human beings by law will be prohibited to drive the car anymore. Because human beings sooner or later will be less safe drivers than the machines.
They make mistakes, yeah?
Yes. And especially they don't communicate with machines so well as machine to machine. Second trend is Internet of Things. When the completion of economy of the machines and economy for the machines will be completed. The third one is the boom of a space economy, and we should look at when colonization of Mars and asteroid mining will start, and it could start in just a few years, or it could start in less than 10 years. And it's similar, if you put parallel great geographic discoveries of 15th century, so this is great colonization of space coming. So we need to look at all of these things on the roadmap and look at it carefully. But secondly and most importantly is differencing. For each of our epochs and technological eras, I also put specific discussion on traps of human progress. And so Several times human beings were at the edge of extinction. Now we're coming to potentially many, many new and more difficult traps of progress. So how are we going to overcome it? So what's important is our values. This is what differentiates us. And so I'm very glad that more and more money invested now in creation of a sense of moral for machines, because it depends upon us today. The machines, artificial intelligence, is it going to be our friend, our collaborator with values, with ethics, or it's going to be our competitor and enemy? It depends upon us today.
Hopefully not a Terminator. But yeah, and just to add from there, you know, I did think about this, and there are difficulties and there are many different, I would say, obstacles along the way. And just thinking on the prospect of AI, you know, that it is that very omnipresent question. What are we going to do with this thing? What's going to happen once it really materializes? Same things with a lot of different other, I guess, areas of science. Now, one that I have been keeping a bit of a track on is stem cell research, which has really taken a boom in Asia, you know, around Japan and China. It's something that is very heavily invested into, but at the same time, not so much in the West. And there are these kind of cultural, I guess, shifts and changes and barriers and things that we need to overcome. But, you know, as you say, if we get to colonize Mars, I mean, that will be a step. So it'll be great to see, you know, in the future where this stuff takes us. And I think the book is a very great representation of, as you say, we've had some dark times. You know, we had some really dark times, but we've overcome them. And I think the values are really what sets us apart, that higher level of evolution that takes us to the next level. But going back, and I mean that quite literally when it comes to history, as you were writing the book, did you have any specific time period that really stuck out for you, or perhaps something that you're a partial of, or perhaps a bit of a romantic when it comes to?
Well, yes, it is. It is clearly Renaissance and scientific revolution. What's amazing is if you look at 15th century, it's like an invisible orchestrator which changed the geopolitical balance in the world. Where East gave up the way to uprising West. In 15th century, Constantinople and the great Byzantine Empire was conquered and collapsed. China, after connecting new capital with 2,000 kilometer channel, Grand Canal, it's terminated its maritime program, and basically it fall in 5 centuries isolation from the rest of the world. So new enlightenment, Renaissance, appeared in city-states of northern Italy, Venice and Florence. It's interesting that since prehistoric times, human society many times tried to reach the new stage of its development, innovative state of development, but each time something stand on the way of the progress. And it didn't happen, and stagnation and dark times returned. But this phenomenon, Renaissance, finally enabled human beings to break this vicious cycle, and scientific revolution brought forward hypotheses and facts instead of myths. So consequently, at that time, knowledge began to grow as a snowball, enabling humanity to improve significantly stand of living and pace of its development. So yes, it is clearly Renaissance which created the new type of state, so-called dynamic state, where the power came from elites to meritocracy, to the science. And for the first time, people can really feel how applying knowledge and commercializing knowledge, they can create wealth and improve living standards.
Yeah, great stuff. And just to add to that, do you have a favorite Renaissance figure?
Well, I think it's clearly Medici, because if you look at the capital of Medici before Renaissance and capital of Medici after Renaissance, it was almost the same. But during Renaissance, they spent like tenfold of their capital. They spent whatever they earned, they spent for development of art, culture, and science. And it's difficult to find such a figure who made such a huge donation to the world.
Great, great stuff. And to wrap up everything that we've talked about, I really want to ask you the, I guess, the staple question of the podcast, and that, what are you currently reading? And do you have perhaps any recommendations for our listeners?
Well, I currently read a very interesting book by Tony Schwartz called The Power of Full Engagement. Because in the future, we human beings are going to compete more with artificial intelligence and machines, so we should work on a full level of our energy, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. Therefore, we should focus on important things, and we should be in our positive attitude, in positive mood. But most interesting part of this book is basically how our values help us to drive all this energy, how they help us to be inspired. Because it is our values which is and will be a differentiation of human beings from the machines. This is our values, spiritual values, where we are and will be unique.
Yeah, and if that sounds interesting for those listening, there will be a link in the description below, so you can go and you can check out that book as well. But with that, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast, Vadim. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much, Mira, and I'd like to thank all Lead Publishing team for working on this book. Thank you so much.
It is our pleasure to having had the privilege to work with you. And for those listening, if you enjoyed our conversation today, please check out the description in the link below, where you can find out more about Humanity's Lucky Clover and, of course, all links to the book. And give us your feedback. We love hearing what you think of the podcast, and you can reach us at Lit Publishing and at Lit Radio on our social media. I'd like to thank you again very much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week.